Thanksgiving Sunday, right? The years roll by. One thing I want to do is really give thanks to God for his mercy for my wife. What the doctors had said, at the end of January of this year, she wouldn't be here because of terminal cancer. And she's here. Praise the Lord. And she's here and smiling. And God is good. He's very good. If she wasn't here, God would still be good. But what a blessing to be able to say thank you, Jesus. It's good. Marie said yesterday, she said, I wondered if I was going to live, through the winter. Then I wondered if I was going to live till spring. And now here it is, it's a fall, and there's a wedding coming, and she's going to be here. And God is good. And we praise the Lord for that. But it's wonderful, even more wonderful is to know where you're going. To be certain that when you leave this world, you're going straight to heaven. And if you don't know that today, you can know it. You can be sure about your eternity. And I'll tell you, that will make you smile. That will make you give thanks. And that has certainly affected us in a wonderful way in the middle of cancer. We have Christ. And we have a hope that goes beyond this life. We have a certainty of heaven. So if the Lord takes my wife home, or he takes me home, I could go home long before her. We know where we're going, and we know we're going to see each other again, and you can know the same if you trust Christ. If you don't trust him, you will not go where he is. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where I am. And so I just want to encourage you to make sure that you have Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Nothing else will matter at the end of this journey. Well, I have a short Thanksgiving message for you tonight. We're called to give thanks to God. And yet, I venture to think if you look around you and you think about all over the world, people, well, I think I said that this morning too, that in the States, I guess they celebrate a little bit later. They're behind us. But people celebrate Thanksgiving. They take the time to give thanks. But I wonder what they're doing. Are they giving thanks to the who or the what? Most people give thanks for the what, but not for the who. Not to the who. Not at all. There's no sense or thought about God in most of the godless Thanksgivings that will take place in homes in Canada this weekend. They'll talk about, well, I'm so thankful I have my family. I'm so thankful I have my health. I'm so thankful I have this. I'm so thankful I have that. But not really thankful to the who. Just thankful. But really, whenever somebody does something for you, you thank them for it. It's a personal thing, giving thanks, isn't it? It's a thing where you actually give thanks to someone, and the who has been lost. The what has become everything. It's become more important than the who. And I just want to encourage you. And you know, even when you stop and think about the things that you are thankful in life, what you ought to be thankful for more than anything else is God himself. Thank God for God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his character. Thank God for his love. Because all the whats are temporary. They really are. The beauty of the leaves that we've enjoyed this fall, and they've been spectacular. I've got the best leaves in Cape Breton next door to my place, by the way, if you really want to see. Pardon me? Yeah, it's nice, but mine are amazing. And they're not mine, but they're the Lord's, right? But between my place and Marguerite Forks, there's the most spectacular leaves. Every color imaginable, lots of really deep red maples. And anyway, but you know what? In a couple of days' time, maybe a week's time, what's it going to look like? Barren. Gone. All those leaves are going to fall to the ground and they're going to rot there. And so God paints the whole landscape. Isn't it amazing what God has done? Do you know that the deer don't stop and look at those leaves and think, wow, look at that color. The dogs don't stop and look at it because they can't even see color, right? Do you know that the animals that are in the forest, none of them can appreciate the incredible beauty that they're seeing? It just doesn't register. God painted the landscapes for your eyes, for human eyes. He painted it for us. And he did it for the glory of his name, so that we might pause and look at the grand artist, the greatest artist of all. And you know, even we're made in the image of God, so we're creative. So we like to paint things, and we like to make things just to look at them and marvel at them. And artists will spend hours trying to capture a landscape that God is the original painter of. And people will praise up an artist and pay big bucks, sometimes for splashes of paint on the side of a wall, you know. But here, the grand artist of all, the one who paints all things, what thanks does he get? What glory does he receive from you and me? And God has called us to be a thankful people. But let me encourage you, don't cling to the what. And often, what we're most thankful for is what we treasure the most. Am I right? We treasure our families. We ought to give thanks for that. We treasure our things sometimes, and we got to give thanks for those things as well. But if we understand the greatest treasure, then we will have the greatest thanksgiving, because the greatest treasure is none other than God himself. He is the greatest treasure. As in the scriptures, we have the Lord Jesus speaking of a man going through a field and finding a great treasure. And what does he do? He sells all that he has to go and buy that treasure. He gives everything away. He makes a transaction because that treasure is worth more than anything else. And Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus is the greatest treasure. He is the one that we ought to be focused on in thanksgiving, on the Lord himself. I'm going to give you a couple of verses in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms. And you'll notice that the thanksgiving in the book of Psalms wasn't so much for the leaves and the flowers and the trees and the food and the clothing, though we're called to give thanks in everything. Don't misunderstand me. But the focus was on God himself, and the focus was on his character. Psalm 18:49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. But when they see the word Gentiles, it usually represents the unbelievers. I'm going to praise God before the unbelievers. I'm going to sing praises to your name. And when you see the word name in the Bible, it speaks about the character of God, who he is. Psalm 26:7, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works, the wondrous works of God. But you know, if we're not walking with the Lord and we're not experiencing the wondrous works of God, we might see them in creation, but we need to have an intimate walk with God so that daily we're seeing the wondrous works of God, God doing amazing things, causing us to be in the right place at the right time. Yeah, yesterday I was at the co-op in Marguerite, and most of you know Rochelle, and Rochelle is over actually in Nyanza area there, right next to the Red Barn, actually. And I've been wanting to get to see her, and I've been saying, Lord, I got somehow to connect up here. But anyway, she was passing through, and I saw the little one in the car, and I had gone into the co-op, got what I wanted, and then I went down. I was going to go down to the goat to get some rolls for this morning. And, of course, the goat was long out of rolls. So I said, well, I got to go back into the co-op. But the Lord wanted me back in the co-op, because as I pulled in, I saw the little girl, and I stopped and had a chat with her. And I said, oh, your mom's in the store. Great, I want to go in and see her. And when I went in to see her, there was a particular issue that she had been just longing for, had a burden about and needed prayer for. And so when I went to see her, she says, whoa, that's timing. That's timing. It's God's wondrous works, because I went in for a loaf of bread. But God is so sovereign and in control. And if we're sensitive to the leading of God, he can take us into places and bring us to people. And at just the right moment, we can experience the wondrous works of God. They're ongoing. And I want to encourage you that we have much to give thanks for and to tell of all his wondrous works. We had a wonderful time of prayer there in the co-op as people were walking by us. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Because God had brought us together for a divine appointment to pray for a particular issue. He's good. God is good. I want to tell of all his wondrous works, and I want to be experiencing them so that I can be telling of them. And they are there for each of you. As you go through your day, say, Lord, show me. Lord, guide me. Lord, be with me. You might not be out and about, you might not see a lot of people, but the Lord can bring some person to prayer in your mind, and as you pray for them, God does a marvelous work in their lives, and maybe 10 years later you find out about it and say, whoa, that was incredible. God knows what he's doing. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Oh, the precious name of Jesus. Of course, in the Old Testament, it was Yahweh. But the name of the New Testament is Jesus. And that is a gift, thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. There is the sweetest name on earth is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remembering him, remembering his character, thinking about who he is and thinking about who he is to us. Psalm 30, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And you know, there's a good word in that because it is forever, not just in this life, but in the life to come. We will be giving thanks to God. Psalm 35, 18, I will give thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. You see, this Thanksgiving is a vocal thing, isn't it? It's not a mumble thing. It's not a quiet thing. It's a giving thanks with God's people in the great assembly. But we saw earlier, giving thanks even before unbelievers that God is good. Mention his name. He is worthy of being mentioned before saint and sinner alike. Psalm 50, 14, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. That is, walk diligently before the Lord. Psalm 69, 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And I like that there because I love to sing. Huh? Praise him with a song. Often, is your heart not lifted from a doldrum as you begin to sing praises to the Lord? God has meant that for that to be the case. He has given us, as I've often said, music's highest function is to give glory to God. Praise him with a song. Absolutely. Absolutely. It gets our eyes off everything else. And magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 75, 1, a song. We give thanks to you, O Lord. We give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. You're not far away, Lord. You're very near. Even as it says in Romans chapter 10, it tells us in Romans 10, who shall go up to bring Christ down? Who shall go down to bring him up? But then it says, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go up to get him. You don't have to go down to get him. But he is so near that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. That's how near. The Bible says the word is very near to us. Jesus is very near, and oh, praise the Lord that your name is near. Psalm 79, 13, so we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praises to all generations. And that, I love that, because that's saying, I'm not only going to be praising the Lord, but I'm going to show forth the praises of God to the next generation that's going to come. I'm going to praise the Lord in front of my children. I'm going to honor the Lord in front of my kids and the generations to come. Psalm 92:1, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Been repeated a few times, hasn't it? And of course, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands, come before his presence with singing. Oh, I messed up. Anyway, there's a whole psalm. We've sung it here before, have we not? Psalm 100? Okay. Maybe we'll try and dig it up on the iPad. So I don't think I have it on there, actually. Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Read Psalm 100. Go home and read it. And read about giving thanks to God. And it's a song of praise to the Lord. Psalm 105:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Psalm 106:1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And here we see that, again, it's the character of God. You notice that there isn't in the Psalms a great number of Psalms giving thanks to God for, you know, I got a new truck. Thank you, Lord, for my new truck. Because they didn't have trucks back then, but whatever. You understand what I mean? It isn't the what, it's the who. May God draw us to him. May we see the value of Jesus. the intrinsic value of the Lord Jesus Christ far more valuable than all that the world has to offer, the real pearl of great price and the real treasure. Save us, O Lord, Psalm 106:47, our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Oh, that men, 107:8 Psalm, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 107:31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 118:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. And even in the midnight hour, Psalm 119:62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. And that's for those who go to sleep before midnight. I never do, so I don't have to rise up. But it is wonderful to give thanks to God in the night seasons. And really, you can stop and think about that in a spiritual way. Sometimes we go through night seasons too. We go through dark valleys, dark hours. But we can rise up and we give thanks to the Lord. Now, those were just a few of those psalms, a few of those passages, just to, I don't know, whet your appetite that it is wonderful to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to God. And he is worthy to be praised tonight. May the Lord encourage you in that direction. Now we come into the New Testament. I just want to give a little example of a little story, just for a moment, of how Jesus, who was that healer, was passing through a certain village, Luke 17:12, and there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood far off. Now why did they stand far off? That's right. And they were considered unclean. And there was a whole system in Israel at the time. If somebody was unclean, then they were in a situation where they could not come into contact with people who didn't have leprosy for fear that they might get it. And so they were isolated, they were cut off, and if anybody went near them, they would become unclean. And so they stood far off. They couldn't get near, but even though they were far off, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They knew that Jesus could do something for their condition, far off as they were. And you know, sometimes we feel far off from God. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I failed too much, or I've done this, or I've done that. Look, cry out to Jesus, even from a distance. He is there, and he is willing to touch us, and he's willing to bless us. And so they cried out, "Master, have mercy on us." And so when they saw him, Luke 17:14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. You might wonder, what's that about, go show yourself to the priest? In the Old Testament, if you thought that your leprosy was healed, if you thought that you were getting better, then you had one recourse, because you were outside the camp. You couldn't be with any other people. You were, your fingers were rotten off, everything else about it. There were scabs or white scabs on your body, and so you weren't allowed with the general population. But if you thought that you were actually getting better, if it looked like the scabs were disappearing and maybe it wasn't leprosy, then you had this one recourse. You could go to the priest. And if the priest would examine it carefully, not touching it, and if he decided, no, that isn't leprosy, that's some other sore, then suddenly you were relieved. You were able to go back among the congregation and you weren't cut off any longer. You were no longer in a leper colony. And so Jesus said, "You go show yourself to the priest." Now, the fact of the matter is they were loaded with what? Leprosy. And so as they turned to go to show themselves to the priest, what did they do? What were they doing? They were taking a step of faith. And as they turned to go and show themselves to the priest, what happened? As they went, they were cleansed. So those lepers could go and show their cleansing to the priest. They could go back home. They could be with their families. They had wives, husbands, they had children, brothers, sisters, mothers. They were cut off, and now suddenly they were made whole. Isn't that a picture of what God does? We've been cut off from God, cut off because of sin, and yet we cry out to the Lord even from a distance, and he comes and he heals us and he restores us and he makes us perfectly whole. Luke 17:15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So we have the story of one man who stopped to give thanks to God. Oh, I encourage you, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. He is good. Little chorus we used to sing with the kids. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Jesus healed 10 lepers on that day. Only one came back. Only one came back. Only one came back to say thank you to the Lord. Only one came back. Only one came back. Only one came back to say thank you to the Lord. Thank you. And we ought to be. Are you one of the 1? Or are you one of the 9? I can tell you, there are days, there are times when I'm one of the 9. I'm too focused. I'm too focused on the blessing. And it's kind of hard to blame them. Suddenly they had their life back. Suddenly they were cleansed. Suddenly they were made whole. Their families would have been waiting for them. Oh my goodness, we can go. As soon as we go to the priest and he absolves us, he says we're clean, we have our life back. And so they went running for their life. Only one came back. Oh God, give us hearts of thanksgiving. Oh Lord, don't allow us, Lord, to miss the joy of giving thanks to you. A few moments of giving thanks in your presence. A few moments of praise and worship to you, Lord. We will get to be with the good blessings that you've given us. But Lord, give us and encourage us to be a people who truly give thanks. Jesus is a good example of a man who gave thanks. You see Jesus giving thanks here in Luke 10:21. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in your sight. Jesus was looking at the Father's working in the souls of men, and he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're opening hearts. Thank you that you're opening the humble and you're enabling them to see. We see before Jesus does this incredible miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, who was 4 days dead, in John 11:41. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. For I know, then he says, I believe in the next verse, I know that you always hear me. And so we see that Jesus is full of thanksgiving to the Father. And in Mark 8:6, we see him giving thanks for the physical things here. As he commanded the multitude to sit down, this is when he multiplied the loaves and fishes. But before he multiplied the loaves and fishes, he took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks. He gave thanks, broke them, and gave to the disciples to sit before them. And they set them before the multitude. Can I encourage you, give thanks to God. Make it the habit at your table to give thanks to God. We do it little enough, don't we? We pause little enough to give thanks to God. We ought to be certain to pause when we have a food on the table in front of us and give thanks to the Lord for it, because it is from his hand. We see at the breaking of bread, Jesus gave thanks. He took the cup, he gave thanks. He took the bread, he gave thanks. Luke 22:17 and 19. We even see the Apostle Paul later in Acts 27:35, when he said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he broke it, he began to eat. God calls us to be a people of giving thanks. Yes, give thanks to God for your provision, even as we saw Jesus doing on the mountainside and at the time of the breaking of bread. In the book of 1 Timothy 4:3, it says this: there's going to come a time when people will teach doctrines of devils. That's what it actually says, demon doctrines. Now here's what some of the demon doctrines are. 1, forbidding to marry. Telling people that they're not allowed to get married was a doctrine from the devil, not from God. Marriage is an honorable gift. Now, that some people are called to marry, some people are called not to marry. That's a God thing, but it's not a man thing. Forbidding to marry, and the other one commanding to abstain from foods. It's a demon doctrine saying, no, you can't eat this, you have to eat this, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. Commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with what? With thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And now he says, for every creature of God is good, 1 Timothy 4:4, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Our lives are sanctified, our lives are made holy, and our food is made holy as we give thanks to God for it. That's quite a thing, isn't it? Makes you stop and think, oh Lord, I want you to bless the food that's going down here, Lord. Absolutely, yeah. All done away with. All that was symbolic. All that was symbolic of sin and righteousness. Done away with, sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And then another thing that you'll find in the scriptures, and there's a ton of verses to do with this, give thanks to God for one another. You've already done that tonight. And when we ask for thanks, someone said, I thank God for Jesus, I thank God for him. And someone else said, I thank God for family, and I thank God for the friends that we have, and the circle of... We have a wonderful thing. Paul writes, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you in Philippians 1:3. I often, when I write a letter to someone, I always like to put that on there and say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Because I do. I praise the Lord when I think of people and oh, Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for who they are. Thank you for what they've done. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God that was given to you by Christ Jesus. Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. We have so much to thank God for. Ephesians 1:16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, as Paul writes again. We give thanks to God always for you all. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. Over and over again, we find many verses concerning giving thanks. And of course, give thanks to God for Jesus. The victory that we have in Jesus Christ. The life that he gives to us. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God. He leads us in triumph. He gives us the victory. And I praise the Lord for that, that he is the one who delivers us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's indescribable. You can't get around the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. There's no words that can describe all the fullness of who he is. He has translated us. He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light through Jesus Christ. And of course, the exhortation in the Bible is to give thanks for everything. In everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, give me thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we find there in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in the bottom of there, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Be thankful. Continually, Hebrews 13:15, I love this verse, because it says, you know, there's no more sacrifice for sins. But sacrifice is like an offering. And God is looking for an offering from you. What's he looking for? He isn't looking for you to... You know, a blood offering, a blood sacrifice. Therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, when you have a tree, a fruit tree, you kind of long to see some fruit down there. This year, I don't know about up here, but apples are scarce as hen's teeth down our way. It's just one of those years that there's no apples, right? So you go looking and you can't find any apples, right? Remember, Jesus went to a fig tree and he found no fruit, right? Guess what the fruit of your lips is supposed to be? What is it? Giving thanks to his name, the sacrifice of praise. Your lips were made for more than kissing. and more than eating. What's that? Because a sacrifice is an offering. It's something that you raise up to God. All the Old Testament sacrifices were offerings to God. Yes, I know. It's giving something up. Well, yeah. Like what? Oh, no, not necessarily. No, not at all. Some sacrifices were difficult. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross was hard. And some sacrifices were a place where you gave up something that was precious to you. But listen, your lips are precious to you. And what you use them for, to take the time out to give thanks to God, is sometimes it seems like a burden or a chore. Sometimes we're not going in that direction. But oh, may our lips be used for what they are meant to be. It's barren. Your lips are barren if they are not giving thanks to God. And your life is thusly barren as well. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. Instead of being anxious, we can be praising and thanking God. Ephesians 5:4, and this is where the tongue begins to, you know, what's my tongue for? Not for filthiness, not for foolish talking, not for coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather for giving of thanks. That's what we're for. You know, my tongue was not used. My tongue was used for all the wrong things at one time. But when you begin to walk with God, and when you begin to praise the Lord, when you begin to discover His goodness in your life, when people are just coarse language and coarse talk and filthy ideas and all that kind of stuff, it grieves you. You don't have any... There's no laughter in that garbage any longer in your life. God delivers you from this and sets you free, not for these things, so we can be rooted up and built up in Him with thanksgiving. When you look in heaven, here's what you find. Revelation 4:9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne forever and ever. This is Revelation 4:9-10. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Revelation chapter 11, verse 17, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You've taken Your great power and reigned." Revelation 7:12 saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." These pictures in the book of Revelation show us heaven is filled with people who give thanks to God because they appreciate Him. Wow, let's start appreciating Him now. It is the mark of a Christian to be giving thanks. It is a sinful heart that is an unthankful heart. Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, you know, when I read this one here, it kind of makes me pause and think, I know God. They did not glorify Him as God, nor were what? Thankful. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Oh, may our lips be used for what they were meant to be, to give glory and honor to God. Not in this respect, where we refuse to give thanks to the Lord. Instead, where our foolish minds and our hearts become darkened. Or the kind of giving thanks that the Pharisee gives, and he says, "I'm so thankful I'm better than everybody else." Right? Luke 18:11. You know, that isn't thankful. That is self-centered, focused life. May our lips be used to give thanks to the Lord for who He is first, and for what He has given us second. And as we grow in God, we'll find we'll be leaning more on the who He is than the things. The who is far more important than the what. Amen.